want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And we are back in beautiful Brevard County. Hi, my name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, and it's Monday here on WMIE 91.5 FM, Today's Modern Worship. And we want to welcome you back to another week of growing in God's Word so that we can be a greater blessing in our future than we have been in our past. And so thank you for tuning in today. We want to say thank you to Coastal Image Landscapes. Their phone number is 321-208-2281, 321-208-2281. And if you have an exterior project, whether it's pavers or landscaping or a putting green, whatever you got, they can probably make it happen. So Dan and his team have done a remarkable job for us. Known them for over a year now, about a year and a half. We've used them at my house. We've used them at the church. They are phenomenal people and have a great work ethic. And whenever I've told them what I was looking for, they have come up with a solution each and every time. They'll do a great job for you. Now, I believe the person's name at this phone number is David, so 321-208-2281 gets you in touch with Coastal Image Landscapes. Maybe you're like us. We have a brown thumb in our house. I've grown some tomatoes. I've grown some watermelons and some cantaloupes. Outside of that, not much that we plant grows. My wife and I killed an air fern one time. There was another time we were patting ourselves on the back. We were all excited because some succulents had just continued to thrive, and then we discovered that they weren't real. So when I tell you that we need landscaping help, we turn to the professionals. That's Coastal Image Landscapes, 321-208-2281. I promise you, everything I just told you is the absolute humiliating truth. So turn to them so that you don't have me come and try and give you expertise. Heard a preacher say one time, hey, pastor, surround yourself with people smarter than you are and then be smart enough to get out of their way. And that's what I do with Coastal Image Landscapes. They know what's going on. They know their plants. They know whether it's a little light, much light, a whole bunch of light, little bit of water, no water, a lot of water. They know all about that stuff. Irrigation systems. They are really, really good at what they do. Give them a call, 321-208-2281, and you tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. So one of the things that I do when I'm reading a passage of Scripture is, first of all, I ask the Holy Spirit to give me discernment when going through a passage. And you would be amazed at the number of times when you're going through something and all of a sudden you see something for the very first time, even though you've been through that passage hundreds of times before. Can't tell you how many times I have gone through Acts chapter 15. So I want to visit today. This is going to be our last visit to Acts 15 for a while. But I want to visit a certain phrase, and I'm going to start at the end of the passage, if you will, and then I'm going to show you the other occurrences where that has happened. You see, I believe whenever there is a usage of words that appears frequently, that there's something there that I need to learn. And so three different times in Acts chapter 15, there is a phrase that is used, and so I want us to visit each of those three occurrences today. First of all, in Acts chapter 15, verse number 34, it says this: however, it seemed good to Silas to remain there. So yesterday we had revisited the qualifications of what a leading man or a person of influence would look like or should look like in the church. And so in case you missed that on Friday, it was part of the church that they were chosen. They were leaders. They solve spiritual problems. They hear from God. They teach. They teach and make people stronger, and they're led by the Lord for relationship. So that last one there, number seven, it says that it seemed good to Silas to remain there. If you go up to verse number 25, you are going to read this. I'll start reading in verse number 24. Since we have heard that some who went out from us have troubled you with words, unsettling your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men to you with our beloved Barnabas and Saul. In verse number 27, it says, we have therefore sent Judas and Silas, who will also report the same things by word of mouth, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. So the first thing that I want to share with you is that there are people who will live their life not according to the Word of God, not according to the wisdom or experience, but according to what seems good to them. Now, Silas, in this case, is a positive example of acting in a manner that seems good to him. The word is defined by a Bible lexicon as to have an opinion or view based on appearance that may differ from reality. It means to think. Sometimes this is based on insufficient evidence. It is judging what seems right or what seems to be the best. And so in Silas' situation, his decision to stay there was because it seemed good to him to remain there because it was in the best interest of those believers, that they didn't just have something imparted to them once and then they abandoned ship on them and left them to fend for themselves. Did you know that if you gave birth to a baby and then abandoned that baby without anyone to take care of it, that would be child abandonment. It would be a crime. It would be horrific. It would cause people to go, oh, I can't believe that person did that. But a lot of times that happens in our churches in a spiritual sense with new believers. There was a time that we took a bunch of kids to youth group, and we were so excited because one of the young people had invited their friend to go to youth convention, and this young person didn't go to church or any place, or they just were invited to go, and they said yes. And so we as a church paid for them to go to youth convention, where they would be exposed to the gospel of Jesus Christ for the first time in their life, and they accepted Jesus. And then we started asking their friend, well, where is that individual that you invited to go to youth convention? And they said, well, I haven't really talked to them anymore since then. You know, they gave their heart to Jesus. I thought mission accomplished, it was done. And it's like, no, you cannot abandon a newborn spiritual baby. There needs to be nurturing, there needs to be feeding, there needs to be teaching, there needs to be setting up for spiritual success and not just spiritual failure. So let me tell you, there's a couple of other verses. We're going to come back here to Acts chapter 15, but I want to take you to the book of Proverbs, and Proverbs chapter 14 is just one of the instances where this phrase is used. And so if I can get my eyes to focus here, Proverbs chapter 14, verse number 12, it says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." So let me read that again. "There's a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death." And so if we are making our judgments on what seems to be right to our mind and not our spirit, if it seems to be right to our desires, our carnal desires, but not to the Word of God, if it seems right to the crowd, but it doesn't seem right according to God, all of those seemings are not going to give us the end result that we're looking for. So when it says that it seemed right to Silas, it was because it was in the best interest of those believers. It was in the best interest of God. And he was willing to make the sacrifice so that those people would have the best possible exposure to the gospel of Jesus Christ. So don't make judgments on things that seem to be right if they are not right according to God's standard. So if you go back to Proverbs chapter 3, you are going to find this verse in verse number 5. "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths." So this is the exact opposite of doing what seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. He says, trust God. Trust God. Don't lean on your own understanding, because you may have, like that lexicon said, insufficient facts to support the judgment, the opinion, or the appearance as you see it. If you and I will acknowledge God, he is going to direct our path. And so Silas didn't do anything wrong here. I just want you to know that if it seems good to me, but there is no unity, there is no second witness, there is no testifying agent or no source of agreement in the spirit, then I need to choose a different standard than other than it just seemed like the right thing to do. There are a lot of people who have ruined their marriages because they did something that it just seemed right in the moment. There are a lot of people experiencing financial difficulties because it just seemed right in the moment. I know people, you know, election day's coming up. I know people who voted a certain way because it seemed like the right thing to do. And then they came back later and said, "Brother, I need to repent because it was not the right thing to do. It seemed right from a standard. It just wasn't a godly standard." And there were consequences. You know, if somebody told you that you can do whatever you want and you never have to deal with the consequences, you have been lied to. Consequences are a manifest reality of when we do what seems right to us, but it's really not right. So in verse number 25 of Acts chapter 15, there is another one of those occurrences. And there it's when the saints are writing the letter to the new church, and they said, these people came, troubled you with words, unsettled your souls. They told you that you needed to be circumcised. We did not authorize that, and so it seemed good to us. Okay? Now, it seemed good to us is a better standard than it just seemed good to one person. Seemed good to us means that there are multiple people who weighed in on this. But you have to be careful, because a group dynamic can still be a wrong dynamic. The children of Israel, when they stood at the threshold of the promised land, it seemed like a good idea for them to go back to Egypt and deal with the Egyptians that they knew rather than go into the promised land and face the fortified cities and the enemies that they did not know. However, God said that's the wrong choice. As a result of making the wrong choice, you're going to wander around to the wilderness until the very last one of you who is 20 years of age or older. I'm telling you, that would have been a really good time to be 19 instead of 20. That you are going to wander around until the very last 20-year-old adult is died in the wilderness. Not one of you is going to see the promised land except for Joshua and Caleb. Okay? So the group dynamic can be wrong. The thing that is built up to help them to succeed in doing what seemed good to them was being assembled with one accord. You remember, this started with a conflict about what would be taught. It ended with a spirit of unity. Okay? Being united is extremely important. I'm not talking about just in church. Being united is very important in a house. Being united is very important for a husband and wife. It's very important, generationally speaking, that there's a mindset, and this is the way that we're going to proceed. Joshua would say, choose you this day whom you will serve, but as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And the children of Israel said, us too, that's what we're going to do. And Joshua said, you can't do it. You don't have on the inside what it takes. And they said, yes, we do. Well, let me tell you, it takes God in order for us to be able to live for God. And so there needs to be unity. When it comes to unity, Jesus said this, a house divided against itself. They were accusing him of casting out demons through Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And he said, if I cast out like that way, then that kingdom can't stand. A house divided against itself cannot stand. Okay? Now, I can just tell you what the Word of God says. I can't tell you how America's future looks politically, but I can tell you that we are headed for a biblical outcome that doesn't result in standing, but falling. A house divided against itself cannot stand. It doesn't say there's an exclusion there for the United States of America. We need revival. We need to be a people who seek the face of God, to seek the Word of God. Do you realize that you've got preachers who are actually dancing around the Word of God, trying to explain it away so that they will be pleasing and acceptable to people, and in the meantime, they are finding themselves on the outside of pleasing God? That's not the thing to do. Okay? We are not meant to be people pleasers, and that is coming from a person of a background of people pleasing. I mean, I was the guy that I liked everybody to like me. I wanted everybody to get along. I happen to think that most of the time I'm a really nice guy. But even being a nice guy, sometimes your actions can be misinterpreted and people not want to have anything to do with you. So there needs to be unity. It seemed good to Silas, and here it seemed good to the church because they were assembled in one accord. And so that's a good thing. There was incorrect teaching there, so they were assembled in unity. And so they put a plan together. And in verse number 28, it says, for it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to us. So if it seems good to me, but there's no unity, I shouldn't go on my appearance or on what I think. Instead, I need to refrain. If it seems good to the group, but it doesn't seem good to the Holy Spirit, then the group is wrong. So America is not a democracy. It's a democratic republic. There's a difference. A democracy is, hey, everybody gets one voice, and whoever has the most voices wins. You vote for a representative. That representative should represent the group that he has been elected to represent. But we're not living in a perfect democratic republic for sure. So those people who get the group behind them, it might appear to be good, but if it doesn't appear, if it doesn't seem good to the Holy Spirit, the group is wrong. So there are differences between the word legal and moral. Something can be legal, but it be absolutely immoral. There are things that may be legal, permissible, but they can kill you. Contrary, there may be things that are illegal from a government standpoint, but they are moral from God's standpoint. And I would take you to the midwives that Pharaoh sent to kill the Egypt or the Hebrew babies when they were born, and they didn't do it. And as a result, God gave them families of their own. It was they were under orders from a man, but they chose to honor God instead. So the highest one of these standards here is it seems good to the Holy Spirit and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things. Okay? There are some things in your life that are necessary. Okay? But the Holy Spirit and the church are really there not to burden you down, but instead to set you up to succeed. That is one of my number one goals in whatever project that I face. How can I set people up to succeed to the glory of God? I could come on here and I could teach a lot of things, but I want to come and teach the things that are going to set you up to succeed in your walk with God, set you up to succeed in your family, set you up to succeed in your finances. I don't ever see ratings or anything like that. We don't ever hear about any of those things. The only way that we ever hear from our listeners is if I interact with someone out in the community, if they show up at church, or whenever there's a fundraiser at the radio station, y'all happen to mention that you are calling because you listen to the Refresh radio program. And for all of those things, we say thank you. So with that being said, let me tell you about some of the biggest decisions that I've ever made in my life. Because what is being talked about here is you and I, we have to make judgments from time to time about, do we go right? Do we go left? Do we go straight? Do we pause? What is it that we are to do? So one of the first things that I want to point out to you is the Refresh radio program. First of all, I didn't want this radio program to look like every other radio program. There are numerous dozens, probably hundreds of radio programs that are out there that are just the pastor's sermon coming over the radio program, and that's it. You know, there's a recording, they drop it off, they cut it up into segments, and that's what it goes off. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. That's just not what I felt like God wanted us to do. But how did we get on the radio in the first place? Well, we got a phone call, and there was a lady here at the radio station, and she said, "Pastor Arthurs, I heard you do a funeral, and I believe that you've got something that Brevard County needs to hear. Would you consider coming on to the WMIE?" And at that point in time, we didn't have the really any plans to do that. I thought my radio ministry days were in the rearview mirror, but I prayed about it, and it seemed good to me. And so I went to the board, and it seemed good to them. But after 9 years, I can tell you that if it hadn't seemed good to the Holy Spirit, we still wouldn't be here. So I want this program today to be about communicating to you that if it seems good, it better line up with the Word of God. And so broaden your network, broaden your horizon, and have some people in your life that you know, that you trust, will give you godly counsel. Say, okay, this is what I believe. Silas was about ministry. The church sending those messengers, it was about ministry. The Holy Spirit, and it seemed good to the Holy Spirit, it was about ministry. And there was agreement with Silas, with the church, and with the Holy Spirit. And the result was believers increased, believers got stronger, believers had great relationship, and people were set up to succeed in their walk with God. So if it seems good to the Holy Spirit, He's never wrong. Go with whatever the Holy Spirit has to say. He's God. He's the Holy Spirit. He's perfect. And we want His will. I just told our church recently, out of all the places that you could ever be in this world, the greatest place, the safest place to ever be, is right in the center of God's will for your life. And I pray that you will surround yourself with people who will not try and drag you down spiritually, but will build you up spiritually and help you to succeed. So don't forget, if you need landscape help, call Coastal Image Landscapes 321-208-2281. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Meredith Assembly of God. We look forward to seeing you in church soon or here on the radio dial tomorrow at 8:30 in the morning. God bless you. You have a great day.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." Consume.